The Business Super Conference that all of you need to be at is finally here. Tickets have dropped to the original VFriends holders, but are now available to buy. I have a link in my bio for the people that have never bought an NFT but want to come because they've heard that Busta Rhymes and Deepak Chopra and Steve Bartlett and all these people are speaking. Go to vcon.co, C-O, drop the M, to see what's going on there. But the link in my bio has a site that we have on VCon that will let you fill it out and will help you get a ticket to our super conference, May 18th to the 20th in Indianapolis, Indiana. The conference is bananas. The 50 speakers I'm about to announce, bananas. This is the huge super business, pop culture, and innovation conference. I want everybody in my community to be there. So link in bio or click here because the team is using this in all sorts of formats to make sure you get to Indy in May for the super business conference of the year. I hope to see all of you there.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
All right, so you clearly have many passionate diehard fans that care about you on a really deep emotional level. And they're willing to travel across the country and pay $1,000 for you. So my question is, what are some practical, concrete steps that a content creator or a company can take to have an audience care about them on an emotional level, and therefore care about their words, products, and services that they offer?
It's a great question, brother. Two things. One, I love your shirt. Two, the answer is, the way you get people to love something is by you loving them first. For a human to get love, at scale, I think it's predicated on them loving first. For me, one of the great reasons I think everything happened was my intent was to provide value. Like, I was like, I'm good. I know how to be happy without people's money, love, attention. You know, I'm good. So this allows me to be like remarkably generous emotionally and strategically. I don't think you can really create something of scale as a content creator without providing outrageous levels of value. Value comes in a lot of different forms, but I think the thing that's been a little bit different about my world is, unlike a music artist or an athlete or someone who's like funny or attractive or an actor, like I'm on a daily basis trying to give people either emotional or tactical things that bring them value. And I did that for a decade before any of you knew who the fuck I was. Like, I did it every day, every day, every day. And, you know, in 2010, it was a couple of hundred people. And in 2023, it's a lot more. So I think the answer, it's kind of like parenting, and all of you are too young for that at this point, but like, they're gonna love you as much as you love them first. And I think the reason a lot of people struggle as content creators is it's all about them. How many likes am I gonna get? How much money am I gonna make out of this? How many hoodies can I sell to them? How many courses can I sell to them? It's all selfish. And the reality is it's all about being selfless. And so I think that's the answer to your question, my guy.
Thank you. I'm gonna buy that hoodie.
I love it. Even better, I'll send it to you.
You are a very big advocate for NFTs, crypto,
yes,
that sort of stuff. And clearly it's like taken like its tongue.
Yes.
A lot?
Yes.
So do you still think it's the future? Or
yeah,
like, are you buying low or are you like out now?
I don't know if you caught this, but most of my summer and fall last year was saying that 99% of them were gonna go to zero because I believe in the macro, but I saw all the greed and the short-term behavior, so I knew it was gonna be a problem. It's kind of like the difference of believing that stuffed animals are gonna be something that everyone's gonna be into as kids versus Beanie Babies, right? So too much of the behavior was Beanie Babies and speculation, but I believe in NFTs and Web3 the most because it's a macro technology. I'll give you the comp. The way you said that, Gary, you believed in NFTs. That would be like you saying, Gary, you believed in iPhone apps, but 99% of the iPhone apps in the first 2 years have failed. And I'll be like, yeah, that's exactly right. But I still think Instagram and Uber and Waze are coming, and that's how I think about NFTs, right? I know that a lot of projects failed because a lot of people came in with greed. They were selfish, like we just talked about. But there will be 1% that are good now, and people will learn from this last year, and people will build meaningful things going forward.
You always say, like, in your 20s and 30s, you gotta, like, experiment and go explore.
Yes.
So I kind of do the same thing. you know, came to the States when I was 17, studied really hard as an immigrant, like being Korean, ended up going to Stanford in my grad school for environmental studies, made my parents really happy. But then I realized I never really risked doing something that I truly felt passionate about because I was afraid of failing it at it, but also I was afraid of my parents' judgment and their...
Disappointing parents, especially yeah. immigrant parents in a U.S. environment, is yeah. is one of the biggest things I focus on because I got so fortunate because yeah. I was an immigrant, but my mother gave me the freedom to be myself, and it yeah. led to so much good, both emotional and professional success.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is just a very rare story. To this day,
yeah.
parents, India, Asia, Europe, yeah. I mean, Africa, I mean, it is the great disservice that parents are doing to their children, and they don't realize it. They think they're yeah. helping. And so it comes from a good place, but it has created
sure.
a lot of vulnerability.
No grudge towards them.
I know.
I mean, they worked their ass off. But then when I went to Stanford, like, I think I did enough for them. And then I started following my passion in art and running.
I love that.
So I went running and I went to Kenya to like live and run with them, which was amazing. So yeah, that's kind of my story.
It's very similar, you know, similar to mine, right? I didn't do it through school. I did it through, I want to give back to my parents by building their business.
Yeah.
And then at 34 went and did my thing. No, I love that. I love that you did that. Did your parents struggle in that transition when you were ready to do something for yourself? Or were they fulfilled? That's the other thing. It's like, the other thing I'm thinking a lot about is like, all right, I went to the Ivy League school, but let me live my life. And it's like, where do parents, they really need to find their way in letting their kids live their lives, which is really interesting because when I speak to the parents, which it happens multiple times a year, that are doing this to the children, their parents did it to them.
Right, oh, exactly.
Which to me is almost the most inappropriate. Because you know that you were so unhappy about this. Why are you, it's hypocrisy at its best. You were mad at your parents and now you're doing it to your kids. That's a level of like lack of consciousness.
At the same time, for them, that's the playbook that they really believed that would work for me.
I know that.
For me, so like, it was very interesting conversation with them. They would ask me like, why would you not work at like Google or Facebook where your friends work at, like make six figures and whatnot. And I've been making like 20 to 40K a year, which is really not much compared to what my friends are making. But I'm just so happy. And when I made the decision to go into running, I was like, I'm just gonna fucking live in Kenya. I don't really give a shit.
And what the world hasn't figured out yet is living within one's means is the only thing one needs to do to eliminate the anxiety associated with their fee. The amount of people I know that make $283,000 a year and stress about money every day is staggering. It's because they live a $413,000 lifestyle. If you make $39,000 a year and you live a $23,000 lifestyle, you've won, especially if you're happy. And by the way, I say this from a place of knowledge. I, in every year of my 20s, post-school, did not make $100,000 a year. And when I was from 45 to 55 to 65, because my dad didn't pay me that much, I lived within those means and had savings. I got fortunate or unfortunate that I worked every minute. I didn't have the weekend to spend money on. I never wanted to impress anyone, so I didn't need to buy anything to impress. Everyone's vulnerability is they're trying to impress someone with the things they buy, which makes them buy things they don't need.
I am still doing full-time marketing right now. 2 years ago, I did like organic social media is when I started.
I remember.
Last year, when I talked to you, one client, now I have five. So I am excited, but I've been posting more on LinkedIn, TikTok, and I've been sending out, we sent probably over like 150 cold emails, like a 30% open rate, but like really not that many people.
Oh, you think that's high? That's good.
That's very high.
Really?
Okay.
30% open rate.
Yeah.
And then what?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Crickets.
What are you emailing them?
Just like information that like I saw their stuff. I thought they'd be a good fit. This is my website.
You're going in too hard. What you need to do is send an email and say, hey, I would title it 90-minute karma 90-minute karma-driven free social media Q&A seminar. I'll say it again nice and slow because I want to make sure you get it. Titled 90-minute karma-driven free seminar Q&A with me. In there you go, hey, love your stuff. I'm just very good at my craft and social media content. I like providing people value. No strings attached. Here's the Google Hangout link. April 17th from 4 to 5:30. Please come if you want to come. And I'm just gonna talk of the state of the union of social media as it continues to become important. If you have one person show up, phenomenal. If you have 23, right, phenomenal. And literally you go there and you give them the best information you can give them pro bono, and that will convert into clients. And if it doesn't, you still created karma, which always is a good thing.
Right.
The reason you're getting very good open rates, you're not getting conversions because you're trying to sell.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, another thing is we've kind of been, so right now, like I said, we do organic social media for my clients.
With some other marketing things too.
I do, like, I've done like branded photo shoots that I coordinate for some of them. I'll do like marketing collateral, just miscellaneous, just to add value. I don't add that into a price right now. It's just more in their monthly retainer to just show them, like, I appreciate you. Here's some extra work that you need help with. I can do no extra charge. But then, like, some of the clients, even after a year long, they love me, but they also are like, where's the true direct return on investment? And
your answer is, I do brand. Brand is not measurable. If you want direct results, you need to spend media dollars against ads. I do brand. And you do. The end. And some people believe in, I believe in brand more than anything in the world.
Me too.
Yeah.
A lot of small businesses and people don't have that patience and don't believe in it. That's okay.
Yeah.
You just need to find the ones that do.
Right.
The other thing you can do is if you see a high turn rate, you can create a consulting product instead of a retainer client.
So the good news is you've had 6 clients from day one and you've lost one.
And it was just because it wasn't the fit. It was a family's friend.
Doesn't that happen? Yeah. Spend no time thinking about who you lost. Think about all your time of how to get better and find new people.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
How do you find your passion? I'm in my Discord right now, and this is something people ask me all the time, and I find that many are scared of their passion, aka their interests, their hobbies, skiing, Legos, cooking, video games. People don't think their interest is a business. Dustin's interest in BMX bike culture, I don't believe he thought that that was a business, that he could make 150K a year being in the BMX business. But he didn't understand that he could do a daily podcast or do videos or be a hoodie maker of BMX culture and make 100K a year. That is real. My big thing is if you're 18 to 29, try it because you won't have to regret not trying it. Someone just asked me, what kind of content do you find does the best? And my answer in my Discord was the one that comes from the heart or the one that comes from the brain. You are either winning on emotional truths or intellectual truths, things that you really fucking believe in or have real passion for, or shit that you really know. So much of what Gary Vee has won on, in my opinion, is that the shit I love is the shit I know, and I've got both. But when I break off into, you know, maybe I'm less passionate about it, but I'm speaking to it, or I'm passionate, and it's more like sports stuff or blueberries or stuff like that, and I don't know as much about it, those work. So for me, great content comes from the heart or the brain. Tips for a college student who wants to drop out. The answer to that is to drop out. If you want to drop out, you should drop out. If you're not dropping out because of the stigma, that's already gone. Nobody gives a fuck. Nobody. I don't even know who any, I don't know a single employee's college. If you told me right now, tell me what college Dustin, Katie, or Nick Anderson went to, I would lose, I'd go 0-3. And so you should drop out because that's where your heart is, that's where your mind is. But let there be no confusion. Whether you go through college or you drop out, to actually win in the real world is gonna take real effort, real work ethic, like real talent, really honing your skills. Like this is all real work out here. A lot of people get confused because they're good at school and that doesn't work. And a lot of people get confused of like, I'm gonna drop out, fuck it, I don't need school. But your lazy ass isn't gonna win in the real world either. You better change that fucking energy. If you're lazy as fucking school like I was, you better flip that fucking energy when you go into the real world.
You know, a quick refresher. So I run a company called American Canning. We're basically a beverage can and equipment supplier to small and scaling beverage brands. I think last time we talked, we were talking about building our own can manufacturing plant. Wild ass year, we actually did that. Totally different than any other plant here. One, it's, we use the Japanese technology. They've been doing it for 22 years. It's the most environmentally friendly can plant in the world. And two, it uses a different technology that's basically increasing the shelf life substantially for like products like wines, spirits-based, RTDs, cider, more acidic stuff. Gallo started importing and using these cans on all their dark horse initially, and they use it on everything now. So we built a plant in the U.S. for
That's awesome. That's fucking awesome.
So, I mean, I guess just some insights from you or hot takes on where's the beverage market going, that premiumization trend is happening in categories that are tough to, you know, hold in cans for long term. But, you know, how would you kind of approach getting the word out there, driving adoption, content, platforms, all that good stuff?
You know, I think it's education comes in the form of communication, right? Like, yep. So unlimited podcasts, unlimited infographics, unlimited... in you interviewing people that actually know the truth, unlimited, you making 1-2 minute hot takes, why, just unlimited. Like, again, it's so easy and so hard. Like, the things I believe in, if I own this business, I would do what I did with Wine Library TV. I would make a video every day for 5 years, and then shit would start happening.
Right.
And you know, that's hard to say because people don't have the time they think. But it's similar to, I used to literally think I didn't have time to work out. I'm busier than ever and I have time to work out. I prioritized. Most people are not prioritizing content creation without realizing it is the oxygen of their growth. People think social media content is like some nice little nice to have or tier six to my real business. Your real fucking business is to communicate your business.
For sure. I mean, what because this is B2B, obviously, right? So, like, I mean, platform-wise, I mean,
LinkedIn
is pretty hot.
LinkedIn, but B2B to C or B2C to B is a fun model. If you go crazy and do a TikTok thing of like if you became the guy that says, demand your favorite beverage to use this technology, and like every time at the end be like, let's all go attack Bud Light. Here's the LinkedIn to the Bud Light brand manager on LinkedIn. Like, you could create a whole viral movement.
Do you think consumers give a shit? I mean,
yes.
Like, it's a commodity.
No. I think consumers give real shits now. I think 10 years ago, consumers gave no shits. 20 years ago, consumers gave no shits. Now, better, whether that's healthier, better for the environment, better for it to be stable. Yeah. But go to the consumer side that then says, then you create a website that has like 80 of your, if you came out and said 80 of our favorite brands that we would love to see our cans, and you have a fucking logo of like whatever brand, and then literally a URL to the LinkedIn of the brand manager of Dr. Pepper or fucking Corona or whatever fuck, you could create a whole swell, because at the end of your TikTok, you're like, by the way, link to the people that can help you make this a reality in our bio.
Okay, yeah, I mean.
And you know, Corona and Dr. Pepper, they're too big to maybe give a shit, but if you find some small, mid-sized brands that are like, would be iconic customers for you if they switched over in that sweet middle, that'd be epic.
So I want to ask if you have any advice for starting entrepreneurs who just like, also really need the time to like develop in their own, as they're gonna start their entrepreneurial journey, and then probably one of the most difficult environments that there have been like in the last decade, right?
Yeah, but honestly, it's not that difficult. Meaning, it's, to your point, it's been one of the more difficult ones in the last decade, because the last decade's been fucking fantasy land. But the economy right now is much stronger than it was in 2008 and 9. It's much stronger than it was in the late 90s. Like, you know, like, it's much stronger. So, you don't want to get caught in the delusion of like, what's happening, which is everyone's lost context of a 50-year window. Like, yes, if you compare it to 4 years ago, it's harder. But it's way easier than it was in 2008 and 9. It got real bad. Like, people are losing jobs. Like, people are unemployed.
Yeah.
right now people are just dealing with inflation, but that's more talking, that's almost more just people aren't capable of managing their own money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like you don't have a job, it's just that you continue to have four streaming services when you're living paycheck to paycheck, and maybe two would be okay. Like Netflix and Hulu's okay. You don't need fucking HBO Max.
Yeah, that's putting that into perspective.
Yeah, so that the reason that's good is now you're like, okay, wait a minute. Because now it's like, even though you're like, I'm up for the challenge, it's like, oh shit, it's tough. It's not really tough. Like, it's actually shit. I would actually argue it's way easier. With the way social media is, with the way information is, like it's never been easier to be an entrepreneur, even in this softened economy.
Yeah.
Because the ease of the tools and the costs associated with the opportunity are outpacing the difficultness in the market.
That makes a lot of sense.
That.
What is something that most people in this day and age is like kind of blind to? Like something that you're seeing that's obvious to you, but that other people are just not seeing at the moment.
That people's entitlement is destroying their happiness. I just don't understand how we got into this place where everyone thinks everyone owes them something.
It's true, and I kind of, when you say that, I also just kind of feel guilty about it because I know that I have some of that as well.
It's, by the way, all of us do. You can't be a human being without expecting things from your parents.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, does that lead to unhappiness.
Your take on, you know, how everyone's expecting a crypto crash and just generally the crypto market? What's your take on that?
I mean, I think it already corrected in a meaningful way, right? Things are down quite a bit. I believe, you know, my take I made very public a year ago and further back of 99% was gonna go to zero because I thought there was too much greed. But the macro is very real, and I think over the next 3 to 5 years, blockchain technology will be a meaningful part of our society.
And how would, are we able to see more integration of AI into NFTs? What's your take on AI and NFTs like combined?
I think AI is gonna be a part of everything. It's like an oxygen technology. It's a utility to make things more efficient. So yeah, I mean, to me, the creation of NFTs will be AI potentially. The scripts that are written for the narrative. I mean, there's just so much that AI is like saying computers. Like, we'll do, you know, it's like 1980 and you're asking, do you think computers will integrate with my pavement company? I'm like, yes. And 40 years later, we have websites for every pavement company and people process their billings through a computer. Like, AI is just gonna be omni. It's a thing. It's like, of course you will, like, it's like a tractor or like a calculator or like a marker. Anything that makes humans' lives more efficient, we will do. Electricity, like we will do it. And AI will make a lot of things more efficient in our society.
Perfect, great answer, thank you. My last question is, since we're a meditation-based project, we actually do guided live meditation on all of our social media every weekend. What's meditation to you? And like, if you practice it, how do you practice it? And how are you mindful of things? And how would you ask other people to be mindful?
I think everything I just heard is full commitment to gratitude. I feel like I meditate every day, though I don't actively meditate the way the world speaks about it. And the way I do that is by leaning 100% into gratitude, by being grateful for what I have versus anxious or unhappy for what I don't have. It keeps me in a steady state of contentness that I wish for the world.
Hey Gary, I read about company culture, the culture advantage, and I look at why culture is so important to innovation, why companies need to focus on it, and that's my message. The question I have is, how do I get that message out there? What communities and where do you find people who care about company culture?
LinkedIn. I think you should produce unlimited amount of content on LinkedIn. I do it every day. I get feedback from it every day. The problem is not where are they. Are people disciplined enough to spend a decade making content every day at scale and building community every day at scale to have a big enough audience to find audience? I think it is just completely forgotten. What is it, 2023? I have made content at scale and have engaged with people at scale. I went from 2006 to 2011 with not going to sleep until I emailed back every person that emailed me. I've been making content on the internet every day at scale for 17 years. This is not where do you find the audience, what should I be pumping out. This is, I don't want to do it for 10 years hard every day to get to a level that seems cool. And cool being like financially viable. And so I think the answer is LinkedIn. The question is, does one have the bandwidth, the talent, the conviction, and the patience to do it at scale for 10 years to get to a level? I don't know.
Thank you so much for listening to that entire episode. We want to remind you to give Gary feedback, so make sure you tweet him at Gary V. But if you're listening on Spotify, you can drop your comments, questions, and anything in between in the Spotify Q&A section down below. We'll see you in the next episode.